is. I can't get away from this. Missions begins at home. Missions begins in the lives that we live every single day. It does. Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." I want to preach this morning on the subject. Going to have prayer. I pray that God will speak to our hearts today about our everyday living, our everyday being the salt of the earth. I want to preach this morning on the subject, would somebody please pass the salt? Our Heavenly Father, this morning in Jesus' name, thank you for Liberty and Sunday School today. And I want to pray for the man of God that's preaching at the mission right now. I want to take a second to pray for my pastor as he'll stand in a few moments. Brother Seymour, as he honored us to be in his place last week, bless him. And Father, heaven's power again in 2010. We'll thank you, Father, for all that you teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. This chapter and following chapters in Matthew 5 is the Sermon on the Mount. In my study, I just call it our Lord's new convert class. These are new believers right here. It begins here, Jesus just teaching and preaching to the disciples. But when you get down to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, you see that the crowds begin to gather. I can't help but believe sometimes maybe there are more ears that hear what we have to say than just those seated right there. The Lord begins to comfort them, and he gives them those blessed honors, those beatitudes that have comforted our hearts through the years. But then after he comforts them, he begins to challenge them. And I pray that our hearts will be comforted this week, but also at the same time, our hearts will be challenged. And he tells them, first of all, that ye are the salt of the earth. He says here that ye are personal salt. For he uses the word ye. And I pray that we'll search our hearts today individually. That what we do for missions this week that starts at home and then goes abroad, it'll be what God deals with our hearts individually. Then he uses the word are, which is a present tense. So we're not only personal salt, but we're present tense salt. And so many times I hear this, well, this is what I used to do for the Lord. This is what I used to give for missions. This is how I used to be involved in the missions efforts of the church. No, the Lord is concerned about what we're doing right now. So there's personal salt, there's present tense salt, and there is particular salt. Not a salt of the earth, but the salt of the earth. Not a salt substitute, but the real thing. Ye are the salt of the earth. Now, I know you're looking at me and saying, boy, this fella's crazy. Well, salt is mentioned a whole lot in the Bible. It's a simple subject, but at the same time, it's a profound subject. Very quickly this morning, the Bible speaks of the parenting of salt. And I love Hebrew history. My wife and I have been to Israel on two occasions, and it confirms what we believe as fundamental Baptists. The parenting of salt. I've learned that Hebrew parents, that when a baby was born into that family, as an act of dedication, they would anoint that baby's body with salt. That was an act of dedication in Hebrew history. That tells me something. That tells me it's the salt of the earth. It starts at home. Oh, yes, it does. The parenting of salt. Also in the Old Testament, there's the purification of salt. And salt was used as a substance that would purify every animal sacrifice for sacrifice days at the tabernacle or the temple. The purification of salt. There is no way that we're going to be a witness for the Lord and be the salt of the earth until we're pure creatures in the sight of God. There's one way, one thing to share the gospel vocally, But it's quite another thing to share the gospel visually. People need to see Christ in us. And they will if we are the salt of the earth. Now stay with me now. Number three, in the Old Testament also, there is the peacemaking of salt. Oh my. The peacemaking of salt. I understand through studying Hebrew history that a lot of times that when there was a difference between individuals. Now, I'm from the South, and there's a lot of folks get into it along the way. We say they have at it. And I'm afraid it's happening in a lot of our churches. In North Carolina, we have splits, splices, and splutters. There are 10 independent Baptist churches within 7 miles of my house. It grieves the Spirit of God that God's people don't endeavor to get along as Christians ought to get along. And when two individuals that had a rift with each other and they desire to make it right with each other, make it right with the Lord, make it right with each other, they would exchange salt. And they would do that as a reminder that difference had been settled. We ought to learn to forgive and learn to forget. That's the peacemaking of salt. And then also there is the pledging of salt. Now I can remember a day that when you went to the bank to borrow money, a handshake was your bond. Oh, not anymore. It used to be that we were people of our word, that we would do what we said we would do. In Bible times, when a person made a promise to someone, they would exchange salt as a reminder that they were to keep their word. God help us to be the salt of the earth. But then, drawing to our message this morning, there is also the planting of salt. The greatest salt content in this world is the salt sea in the desert of Israel, which is also known as the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea has the greatest mineral content of any sea in the world. I've been there twice. I've seen people float on the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea, because of the immenseness of its mineral content. Now, this is what I've learned. I've learned that farmers, husbandmen in biblical times, they would go to their fields, they would take their primitive plows, they would take their oxen, they would plow those fields. And then they would take their wagons, they would take their team of oxen, and they would take their huge barrels, and they would go down to the salt sea, and they would fill them with salt water, and then take it back to the field because it was a great mineral content, and it would kill all weeds. Now listen to me carefully. They would administer the salt water before they would ever plant the seed. Are you listening to me? There is no way that we're going to be able to sow the seed of the gospel until we become the salt of the earth. There are going to be no thirsty sinners until we become salty Christians. Ye are the salt of the earth. 7 countries in our world have salt mines. 7 states in the United States of America. That brings me to my first point this morning. I want you to notice the availability of salt. My wife and I, we've never been anywhere where we could not get salt. If it wasn't anything but a little Morton's salt packet, the availability of salt. I imagine today there's some salt around the church property here. I would imagine at any hospital that you visit or maybe have had to go to, you can find salt. How about at the schoolhouse? How about on your job? Last night at the restaurant there in Irvin, had a good meal there at Tom's restaurant, and we had salt there. And then there's been times where my wife and I have worked at Rock of Ages Prison Ministries, and we have found salt there. of the 30 states in the United States that I've preached in by the grace of God, we've always been able to find salt. We have visited Jordan. We've been to Israel. I've been to Grenada. I've been to South Africa, mission trips to Mexico. That's not important today. But the important part is that salt is available everywhere. Now, what's so important about that? It's important that we see as the salt of the earth, we make ourselves available unto His service wherever we go. Oh, my goodness. Down in Florida, in one of the Rock of Ages prison blitzes, it was such a discouraging day. I wanted to quit. My wife wasn't with me on that trip, and 99 weeks out of 100, she is with me. She wasn't able to go with me that week because we weren't able to get into the women's prison, so she stayed at home to keep grandbabies. Hallelujah. I was discouraged. I was ready to go to the house. But we were in a little room there taking a break and got a Pepsi and a sandwich and a little something there and reached into a drawer and saw salt. And the Spirit of God reminded me, you're not here for yourself. You're here for me. You're here to be the salt of the earth. You're here to tell people about me. You're here to try to keep somebody out of hell. You're here today to tell somebody about the saving grace of God so that they can become the salt of the earth. I had the privilege that afternoon of leading two inmates to Christ. Amen. The availability of salt is everywhere. I said it's found on the job. God help you tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, as you go to that workplace to be the salt of the earth. It's at every schoolhouse. God help you students, you teenagers that are in school, you young people, to make a difference for Christ. Would somebody please pass the salt? How about tomorrow at the mall? The Walmart. I've never been to a place like that where I couldn't find salt. I'm sure you folks here in New York like sports like we do. Basketball, football, baseball, soccer. You folks have hockey, we have soccer. But I've never been to a ball field or a baseball stadium where I couldn't get some salt. The availability of salt. May the Lord help us. Now think about this. If the greatest salt content of this world came from the Dead Sea, remember back now in our Bibles, that before it was ever the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea, it was Sodom and Gomorrah. Now that makes me about want to have a Nazarene spell, friend. Because of a place that was once cursed is now a place that now is usable. And that's what I was. I was lost in sin. I was useless and worthless to God. But by His saving grace, amen, because He came my way and showed me that I was a sinner and showed me the cross of Calvary, and I trusted Him as my Lord and Savior. Now, a person that now was cursed is now the salt of the earth, and can be usable for the glory of God. Wow. The availability of salt. May the Lord help us today to make ourselves available to be the salt of the earth. Would somebody please pass the salt? Number two, I want you to notice the application of salt. Now, salt mines usually have salt blocks. Salt blocks in biblical times and salt blocks even in Israel today are usually anywhere from either 8 to 10 feet long, square, and high. So how in the world is that ever going to be usable? Well, Common sense tells you that it's got to be broken. And the process of breaking a salt block is the process that's the hardest, and it's the process that's the longest. And ladies and gentlemen, before salt could ever be put in a salt shaker, it's got to be broken down to its finest form. And I pray that these days that we have together would be a day that we can learn in becoming the salt of the earth that the Lord's just going to have to continue to break us. I never had much burden for the mission field until I began to take trips to the mission field. Job said that mine eye affected my heart to go there firsthand and see what the gospel is doing to make a difference in the world. Maybe during this week, through the preaching and through the presentation of the missionaries, maybe the Lord, the Spirit of God, would use that to break us down to our finest form, that we could not only be the salt of the earth, but pass the salt to a lost and a dying world out there. The thing we have to remember is this, ladies and gentlemen, if it was not for the grace of God, you and I would still be on our way to hell. It's got to be broken. Number two, it's got to be shaken. Now, I'm not trying to give you a funny illustration, but I'm just giving you the best illustration I got about this. When I pastored in Louisville, North Carolina, one Saturday morning, a lady in our church called and said, "Brother Maynard, Miss Maynard, boys come over tonight. We're grilling out T-bones." I said, "Don't have to ask me twice." And the prodigal son came home, they killed the fatted calf, amen. So we got down there, and meal was outside, picnic table and everything, and boy, you just see the smoke coming off the grill and everything, and Miss Frances baked potatoes and everything, salad, and boy, I tell you, just nanner pudding, that's banana pudding, amen. I mean, just had it all fixed up and everything. But while we were getting ready to eat, Miss Frances, her husband's name Henry, kept saying this, "Don't pay attention to Henry. Clayton, oldest son, don't pay attention. Don't pay attention to Henry. Nathan, now, when he starts doing something, just turn your head the other way." Well, we all got sit down, said the blessing. Henry Brown said this, "Francis, where's the salt?" I said, "Don't pay no attention." Now, when I was growing up, Mama taught us that when you got salt, you just turn it a little bit and peck the top of it. Get a little salt. Not Henry Brown. Henry Brown got that salt shaker, and he started doing just like this. I mean, he had salt on my steak, his steak, everybody's steak. Had it in iced tea. Had it on the baked potato. Had it all over the table. But the Lord spoke to my heart. I sure do wish we'd get shook up like that. I wish that we could see today, as long as the salt stays in the shaker, it's not doing anybody any good. If we're going to apply salt, yes, we're going to have to get broken, but we're going to have to get shook up over souls. A couple months ago, my wife took her first trip with me to the mission field to the island of Trinidad. And we were, this is my second time there myself. No, you went with me the first time too. Forgive me, second time. And we went down there the first time to do a missions conference. Then we went the second time during the day to have a vacation Bible school, and at night have a crusade in the community. I'm going to tell you what will break your heart. You go into these communities, these squatters camps, and you see hundreds of people living in rooms, living in places that look like junkyards in North Carolina. Some of them walking 2 and 3 miles every night just to come to hear preaching and singing, walking. see some of those that you wouldn't think that would ever come that night and sit in hard chairs. You're sitting in soft chairs today to hear the gospel. And the same Holy Spirit of God that convicted me, convict their heart, and then come forward in the service and have a worker take a King James Bible and show them how to be saved. Praise God for the power of the gospel. Amen. And every time she and I make a trip like that, it makes us want to come back home and increase our faith promise so missionaries can tell more people about Christ. If you and I are going to be the salt of the earth, number one, we got to see that it's available. Number two, we got to see that it's application. But number three, oh my soul, we've got to see its abuse. Can you abuse salt? Did you see in our text right here in Matthew 5:13? But if the salt have lost its savior, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Pastor, I'm going to give you my heart right now. For years, I didn't understand that verse. I did not understand what it meant until that last trip to Israel. We went down to that Dead Sea. And we all of a sudden ride from the Dead Sea back going north. On the side of the road, we'd see piles of rocks. And I found out that wasn't gravel rocks. It was salt rocks. Are you still with me? Salt rocks about this big around. I asked the tour guide, I said, tell me about that. He said, if the salt blocks are not mined in time and are not used immediately, it loses its purpose, it loses its mineral, and it's put on the side of the road to fill in ruts when it rains. It is thenceforth good for nothing and to be trodden underfoot of men. Now I understand why the Bible says, remember Lot's wife, because she turned around and became a pillar of salt. When she turned around and became a pillar of salt, she became the same thing as something that had become useless on the side of the road. So ladies and gentlemen, we better not abuse what God's given us. We better desire to be the salt of the earth and allow the Lord to use us now. I must work the works of him while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I'd hate to stand before the Lord one day and the Lord say, I wanted you to do more for Faith Promise. I want you to do more for missions. I want you to do more for your church. I want you to do more for Eden, North Carolina. Eden, New York. I want you to do more for Faith Bible Baptist Church. I wanted you to step up and go another step in your Christian walk, but you decided not to, and now you are just like gravel on the side of the road. I don't want to get that shape. And you don't want to get there either, where you have lost your taste and you have lost your testimony and you've become trodden underfoot of men. I leave you with this morning. This right here was illustrated to me in a country home in a place called Taylorsville, North Carolina. I was preaching revival meeting a mountain church, and mountain folk, they're precious people, and there's a guy in the church. I still laugh about it. Guy about 73 years old, you know, come in, just walk in. One night he said, preacher, I want you and your wife to come over to my house. I want you to meet my mama. I said, how old are you? He said, 73. I said, how's your mama? 92. And the pastor said, you really need to go over there. So the last night after the meeting, we got in our vehicles and went off the main road, down a dirt road, a little country frame home, little farm there. And you know, when you visit a new home, ladies, you walk in and you see something like you've never seen before. You'll notice something. Well, when Miss Maynard and I walked in that little country living room, and she's here to verify what I'm telling you, from the floor to the ceiling, along every wall, there were salt and pepper shakers. This dear lady collected salt and pepper shakers. So when you walk in and you see that, that's the reason that guy wanted me to come over there. I said, wow, this is something. Feller said, come on down the hallway, preacher. Hallway, pastor. Salt and pepper shakers from floor to ceiling. Shelves about that far apart. Kitchen, back bedrooms, a sitting room. I'm talking about every wall in that house. Salt and pepper shakers. Now it was question and answer time. We go back into the living room. And I bet you got some questions right now too. The dear elderly lady said, Miss Maynard, what would you like to ask? Now this is a woman now. Same thing some of you ladies are thinking. How in the world do you keep all the dust off of this? And they told us that they hire people to come in and take a room at a time. Here's the man part. You ready, men? How in the world do you keep insurance on all this? They answered that too. They began to show me albums of people that had visited there to see their salt and pepper collection. Of course, this is the question you've all got, and I did too. How many sets in that big house? You'd like to know, wouldn't you? Well, the feller said, guess, preacher. I hate it when somebody tells me to guess. 1,000? Not even close. 3,000? Well, get warmer. 7,000 sets of salt and pepper shakers in that house. But here's the question that come to my heart that they said that nobody else had ever asked before. How many sets of salt and pepper shakers have got salt and pepper in them? And the mama said, there's only one, and that's the set on the kitchen table. Wouldn't it be sad? Wouldn't it be sad for you to be a vessel and look pretty, but be on a shelf? And you're on the shelf because you're not the salt of the earth. If I had my choice, I'd rather be the salt of the earth and being doing something for Christ and doing something for this world, for the glory of God, for the sake of the furtherance of the gospel, than to be sitting on a shelf looking pretty, one day waiting to be inspected. Would somebody here today please pass the salt? Preacher, you come. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Preacher's coming for the invitation this morning.